Well, as most of you know, if you're not visitors here, in the last 6 months, we have lost five foundational saints that God gave us. And each one of them has impacted many people in our congregation and has touched each one of us. My mom was the first one to pass away, and we've already had a celebration of life for her. We had a celebration of Barry's life. We've got one coming. We had last night a celebration of Mike's life, and we have coming up a celebration of Margaret's life. And I'm gonna tie a few lessons that Judy's life tells with us with the scriptures we're gonna look at today, because each one of their lives was different, but each one of their lives was surrendered to God and faithful to God and touched us and taught us different lessons. And I don't know about you, but it's been bittersweet because I hate missing their presence and the gift that God was to us, but I'm so grateful for the gift that God gave us in these saints. And you know, I do funerals more than I would like, but it's different when it's someone that their life has been a true witness for Christ. And Hebrews tells us that we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. And these are the witnesses, the ones who lived out their faith and touched us. And I love Psalms 116:15 that says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." And there's a part of it when someone like these five leaves this earth and goes to be with the Lord forever in their reward, there's something that there's that sense of loss that we're not going to have them with us, encouraging us and modeling for us what life is. But on the other hand, there is a joy of knowing where they are and what they're now experiencing. And for many of them, it is a release from some of the just the consequences of a sin-broken world that God attaches even to our aging and even to that. I also love Ecclesiastes 7:1 that says, "A good name is better than precious ointment." And you know, we got five people up there who had a good name, a name that honored Christ. And I've done lots of funerals where the name did not honor Christ, and it was not a great witness for what faith in Christ really brought. But to live out and to have peace and to have joy and to have love for others and to have your life transformed, to be patient and kind and good and faithful. And that last one that seems so elusive, self-control. It's a wonderful thing to have a name that represents Christ, not just to people who know and love you, but to the world. And the day, the Bible says, of our death is better than the day of our birth. A lot of times you go to a funeral or even a service today where we're going over verses about death, which the Bible tells us it is better for us to think about the day of our own death than it is to think about life. The fool thinks about having a good time. A godly man realizes he don't have much time, or a godly woman. And so he thinks about the imminent close of his life and what he's going to do to honor the Lord and to make a mark for God by fulfilling the purpose he was created for with that life. And I'm telling you, you're remembered in different ways when you do. And the day of our death is the crowning reward for the way we lived. And it is an announcement, and people who think about those who've passed on, I still think of my mom, and it brings encouragement to me. And it brings a realization that what she's experiencing now is the reward that Christ promised her through her life. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 1-3, to everything there's a season. There's a time and a purpose under heaven for everything. God created you with a purpose. He created you to have strengths and weaknesses that would relate to and click to certain people that no one else in this world might click with the same way. He created you with a personality, and he created you in a place and a time, and he puts you in an economic level that you would be surrounded by people that the Holy Spirit could speak through you to reveal who Christ was in a way that no one else on earth can be used. And that's very important. There's a time to be born and there's a time to die, and in between is the purpose that God has for your life. And how well that is lived out depends upon how much you recognize that and how much you pursue knowing the God who reveals step by step that purpose. The further away from you, him you are, the vaguer that purpose comes, and the harder it is to find. And without being close, it's impossible to achieve. Hebrews 9:27 tells us this: it's appointed for man to die once. Everybody's going to die physically. And after that comes the judgment, because death in the Bible does not mean termination of existence. It means that I am no longer going to be united with this physical body, but I am going to be someplace wherever I go. And at the time of my physical death, God will make a decision on whether I continue living in his presence or whether I continue living separated, ignoring, defiant to his will, or whether I will be in paradise. I love John 5:24. It says, I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from life to death. You know, when you look at that, you see it says, those who listen to. And in some of your translation, it says, those who hear my word. And what it's really saying is what Jesus says over and over, where he says, those of you who have ears to hear, let them hear. Because Jesus knew and told us when he was speaking to the crowds that most people could not hear what he was trying to say. They heard the words. They could quote the words. But when they quoted the words, they twisted it like the devil did in the temptation. They twisted those words to fit what they wanted it to mean, to fit their lifestyle. But the truth is very, very clear and plain if you have ears to hear it. And he says, I tell you the truth, those who listen to and hear my message and believe. That's interesting in there too, because in our modern presentation of the gospel, there's no and to it. It's just, do you know the story of Jesus? Do you know the facts about Jesus? Do you accept them as the facts? You say yes, and that's all there is. Of course, James tells us that the devils know the facts better than you do. And when they think about them, they tremble. But there's no and that goes with hearing the facts about Jesus. It says, and believe, which means that I hear that message, I understand what it's saying, and I understand it's talking about me being separated from God, having no awareness of who he is or what his purpose for me is, not wanting to seek that, but wanting to seek the world. I am dead to God. I am dead in my human sin nature that doesn't want to pursue the one who gave me life, but wants to pursue the things that he made with me. I don't want to find my joy in him and in a love relationship with the one who loved me so much that he came to earth in a human body to picture his love in his death and resurrection. No, I want to find my joy in the things that he made and the appreciation and respect of other people. I don't rely on, trust in, cling to God, but I cling to and pursue the things that I think will be good and fulfilling for my life. And I don't recognize that God has called those things evil. So I believe the message. What's the message? What is the message or the word that Jesus Christ was speaking to us? Well, it's about God. And our faith is not in a statement about God. Our faith is in the person of God. We're not separated from just knowing some facts, and if we get some more facts in our tool bag, all of a sudden now we're okay. We're separated from God. That incredible personality that fills all of heaven and all of earth, within whom we breathe and have our being, the one who determines our life, that determines everything and is in control of everything in the world, we come to see him as the exalted God in heaven who created and knows everything. And we're taught by him that he is our heavenly Father who loves us and wants to help us grow to become everything that he created us to be. And the message is that Jesus brought is we're separated from God. And we're separated from God because we want to be. We come out of the womb, and creation witnesses to all of us constantly that there is a God. And yet we seek after other things, and from birth our nature wants to be in control. Our nature wants to eat what we want. It wants to go to bed when we want. It wants all the comfort of whatever it is that we want from birth. We want those things. We want to be comfortable. And so the message is that is what separates us from God, our own desires, our own heart. But God loves us and sought us out. Do you know no one responds to God before God responds to them? No one comes to the Father. No one comes to me unless the Father what? Draws him. God calls us when we've already made our choice because he loves us. He wants to forgive us. He wants to reconcile with us. He wants to redeem us. Nobody wants to reconcile with God. Everybody wants their own way. And even when they can't get it, the average person is angry with God. But the message is that there is a God who loves us that we can trust and we can put our trust in. And he's the one who sent Jesus Christ on this earth so we could see it. And we have eternal life in him. Now I want you to notice the tense of that verb, because most people believe they will have eternal life when they die. But if we believe in him, if we hear that message, and we rely and trust in God ourselves, we can have a relationship with him where we're connected with him right now, and that will continue forever. As a matter of fact, that's going to be the deciding factor when we physically die. Jesus is either going to say, I know you. We've been walking together. We've got a relationship. Or he's going to say, I don't know who you are. And you may think you cleaned up your life enough that I think you're okay, but the point is not that. The point is that we're a million miles away and you aren't even interested in knowing the laws of life that I want you to live by, and you're not living by them. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from life to death. That's the tense of the word. Yeah, no one goes to heaven that doesn't know Jesus Christ. No one goes to heaven that's not part of his family, that God doesn't know them. Christ didn't die so that you would conform your life a little more to his rules. He died so that you would understand how much he loved you and you would love him back. And because of that love, the way you look at everything is differently. You know, we had a celebration of life for Mike Cribbs, and I think it was Laura Collins who got up here, his daughter, and she said that her dad was forgiving of everything, but the words that stabbed her heart were, I'm disappointed. You know why that's there? Because she sees him as her father. She knows how much he loves her. She knows how much mercy and grace he has given her. He knows that when she's made mistakes and done the wrong thing, he still loved her and he helped her to grow and to be better. That's the same thing that Jesus is revealing to us about God. For the wages of sin is death. It doesn't mean that we will cease to exist when we die. It means that we are separated from God. We can't see who he is. We can't feel his leadership in our lives. When we open up his words and we read, there's no Holy Spirit revealing to us what that means for where we are and what we're doing. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, I got this little thing up here because this, I've heard people say that. I've heard people who came into this church at times and would say, I've got my ticket to heaven. How many of you ever heard that before? I got my ticket to heaven. I see one hand up and I see a lot of heads nodding, but we'll take the heads nodding instead of the hands up. But what's interesting about it is that it's not a transaction. It's more than that. It's not just that you're welcome when you die and the door of heaven will be open to you at death because the price was paid by another. Yes, Christ paid the price for you. Someone else did. But he opened the door for you as soon as you would walk through it. And you can have a relationship with Christ right now. Not something that you believe some statements and it doesn't affect your life at all until you die. You live leaning on your own understanding and you live following your own heart and you're still disconnected from God. You're still entrenched in the world. That's not eternal life. A connection with God lasts forever and it grows more and more and more and more. And we see it in those saints who were older that passed away. Romans 14:8 says this, for if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. That's salvation. That's being born again. Because before that, we don't live for the Lord. We live for ourselves. We want the Lord's help to help us live better for ourselves. And when we die, we're hoping. But when we know Christ, we live for him. And when we die, it's better. So then whether we live or we die, we're whose? We're the Lord's. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I got a text the night that Judy passed away from her son. I'm just going to read it to you because it encapsulates what we're talking about. He said, I wanted to let you know personally that my mom passed away this evening. Moving to Chattanooga 10 years ago gave her a fresh start. She truly found peace and joy in her faith and community. She always spoke about how much her church family meant to her. She lived two very different lives, before God and after letting him into her heart and soul. I am so grateful for that. In what I believe were the best 10 years of her life, she moved to Chattanooga and found Lolita and your church. She found God. She found true friends. She found joy. She found unconditional love. She found adventure. She found true friendship. She found compassion. She found a place free of judgment. For me and my wife, Robin, it's difficult times because we rarely saw that side of Judy as a mother, mother-in-law, or grandmother. But knowing that she had love, peace, and fulfillment in her later years gives us comfort. One thing that has really been interesting is that over the last couple of months, Robin and I have felt a strong pull back to church. We started attending again, feeling a draw we couldn't quite explain. We found incredible and deeply comforting that every Sunday the service seemed to reflect Judy's life rather than our own. It was as if God was gently reminding us of the transformation she experienced, the grace she found, and the love that surrounded her. That in itself has brought me and Robin a sense of peace and satisfaction. Since she had a wonderful life with you and your congregation, I believe that she would want to be honored by your congregation. I trust that you knew her well in this chapter of her life, and I believe you can honor her memory in a way that truly reflects her journey, her faith, and the love she found within your church. I know that she cherished her time with you all. It brought her so much joy, purpose, and sense of belonging. It would mean so much to me and Robin to see her honored in the way she would have wanted. That's by you. Thank you for your kindness and prayers over the years. They made such a difference in her life, and I know she deeply appreciated them. Thank you for being such an important part of her life. That is what salvation is about. And the fruit of it is people around that don't have it become aware of it. And that is the purpose of the church. It is to share that love, share that light, and when that flame starts, to feed it. And that's what happened to Judy. Some of you remember how happy she was at 75 years old when she got baptized. Think about that, 75 years old. And when she came here, she was not a happy person. She was a bitter person. She was a disappointed person. She was an angry person. You know, we all seem to have different personalities. To Judy, the things that happened to her in life caused her to be so angry that she did things that made it worse. You know a lot of people like that. There are other people like me. When I was young, I was far from God, and I was chasing the things that I thought in the world could fulfill me, and I was experiencing all kinds of trouble and disappointment from it too. But my reaction and my personality was, don't slow down. I wanted to occupy myself chasing something that was fun, chasing something that I thought could numb my mind from thinking about it and give me a moment of joy. And there were times where I would stop, and I would come home at night, and I would sit on my bed, and before I laid back to sleep, I would drop my head in my hands, and I would just think, God, there must be more to life than this. It's so empty. And I pushed and I pushed and I pushed. Other people get mad and they push back and they push back. It's not a question of how you react to things. It's not a question of your first personality. It's a question of whether or not you understand your inheritance is Christ. And that he is your joy. That he's your peace. That there is no truth without the presence of God in your life. You're looking at a partial reality. If you don't see the hand of the Lord. And here she is being baptized, and she had a great, some of you remember that 3 years later she came in just beaming. And I walked up to her and I said, what's going on? And she goes, I'm 3 years old. And she was telling everybody, I'm 3 years old. And thought, okay, no, you're 78. You're not a three-year-old. You may be a three-year-old inside with the joy and the bounce that you have and how you want to share things and laugh with other people and how grateful you are to know other people who love the Lord. But you can barely walk down those steps without getting out of breath. She didn't have the body of a young person. She struggled with that body. But she had the heart of a young person. And she appreciated what God had done for her. And it's interesting, when she came in here, you see Lolita and my mom up there looking down on that baptism. I edited that picture. But But if she would not have come to a place where she just happened to be in the same room as Lolita, and if Lolita would not have been thinking about an opportunity God gave her to share his love with someone else, she would have never come here, she would have never found Christ, and she would have died alienated from people. But she heard that message, and she came here, and she understood nothing about God. And she was in a small group that I had. She had a tight relationship with Lolita. She had a tight relationship with my mom and many of the other ladies in here. And over time, about a year or so later, pieces started falling together. And she started to understand what the message was. And she gave her heart to Christ. She wouldn't have known that without people. She wouldn't have known that without patient people. She wouldn't have known that without people who didn't realize what their purpose in life was to share what God had done with them, in them, to others. But luckily, well, I won't say luckily, fortunately for her, she was surrounded. I want you to understand this. God works through people. God created you and put you on this earth to connect with people. And he may have a large group of people that he made you to connect with. He may have a small group of people. That's not the issue. Many who are last will be first. You're going to be rewarded on how you live your life and touch the people God puts you on earth to touch. And some people he creates with the personalities and the strengths and weaknesses to touch the few that are harder to touch. It isn't the number. It's the faithfulness to the purpose that God created you for. And I want you to understand this. If you don't do your part, those people aren't coming to Christ. I mean, a few of them may miraculously, but the Bible teaches us that the witness that's all around us that God is here and created us is not enough for most people to find Christ. They need to sit next to someone who is just like them and realize our lives are completely different. I'm afraid of everything. I worry about everything. I get upset about everything. How can you live the way you do? The only difference between you and me is this thing you call faith. And this presence of a God that I don't seem to know. The weight of the words of God are made heavy when they are lived out in the flesh. It's why Jesus Christ came. The Old Testament was there for 2,000 years, and very few, there were a couple like David who understood what it meant, and Daniel and Joseph. But the average person couldn't understand what God was trying to communicate until he came in the flesh. That's what your job is now. That's why Jesus says, you will do greater works than I did. Because when he died and rose again, that Holy Spirit did not come in and inhabit and transform the hearts of people until after he was gone. And he left the message of reconciliation to you as individuals, not to this pulpit. The people who come here are people who already want to hear it. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, in other words, we die, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself, not with human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies. Anybody who knew Judy and watched her try to walk in and out of this place and know that she couldn't do it without assistance, know that that body was weak. And we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. Many of you heard my mom say over and over, I'm ready to go. Too much pain in this body. It's what Gwen knew when Mike went into the hospital was going to be. It was the message that she knew that he probably wasn't coming out. He was ready to go. His body just couldn't take it. But we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without our bodies. You know, it's hard to believe that if you don't know the Lord when you start to hurt. 2 Corinthians 5 continues in verse 4. It says, we will live in these earthly bodies. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. I know it's hard to believe when you're 25, but it's not hard to believe when you're 75. It's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. I mean, God's creation is great. Even this life is great. I can't imagine what heaven is. But we like being alive. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. God himself has prepared us for this. And he's given us a guarantee. He has given us his Holy Spirit. You know, I go to lots of places where there's tremendous doubt and fear about what happens when someone actually dies. But there's not when you know the Lord. And there's not on the face of people who are passing away that know the Lord. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the old has passed. Old things have passed away. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In other words, they won't be locked out of God's presence and the fellowship of God's people forever. But they'll live eternally in that bliss, the bliss that Judy found a taste of and a shadow of in this building, in her relationships with you. Jesus says this, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God." Don't believe in the facts about God, but believe, rely, trust, and cling to the person of God. "In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?" You're with God, you'll be with God, and he is preparing a place with you. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. "I am the resurrection and the life," Jesus told them at the raising of Lazarus. "The one who believes in me will live even though they die." When you die, you won't be disconnected to God and worried where you're at. "And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" That's interesting that Jesus added that question in there. Do you believe this? The only way you're going to believe this is to know and feel the presence of the God that promised it. You can't hear it from me and believe it. You need to have the Holy Spirit tell that to you. You are my child. You need the Holy Spirit to evoke in you, "Abba, Father, thank you, Lord." And he said to them, truly I say to you, today you will be with me when? In paradise. So the moment our loved ones leave this body, they are with the Lord. No more tears, no more pain, no more death, no longer surrounded in a broken world filled with sin. So I'm going to give you just a moment just to bow your heads and close your eyes. And whatever God has put in your heart, I want you just to express that back to him. Whether it's a gratefulness for the assurance of your relationship with him and the bond that you have with him, or whether it's an awareness that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now and saying, you don't have that kind of connection. You don't know me. You need to realign your life to search for me and to search to find my love. Well, I'm going to give you a few moments to just respond to God what's in your heart. Our loving, gracious, merciful Heavenly Father, who loves us so much, your word tells us that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Well, we look for that love and that escape from fear in all kinds of things in this world, but none of it is perfect. The only perfect love comes down from above. And those gifts of peace that passes understanding, and a love that can look beyond ourselves, and a joy that's inexpressible and uncomprehensible, that comes simply from knowing that the Creator of the universe has my life in His hands, that knows me by name, that called me and tugged on my heart individually, and opened my eyes to see that Christ had died for my sins, and that God was speaking to me, wanting a relationship with me and calling me to let go of the world and lay those things down and surrender my life to my loving Heavenly Father. All of that was opened up to us through Jesus Christ. And He came to this earth because of a love that we cannot understand. A love that's so amazing. Why would you love us? Why would you care about us? Why could we feel the pull of your Holy Spirit on our hearts? Why did you draw us to you? And Father, we don't know how to respond and to do our part in becoming the people you want us to be, but you give us faith and you give us grace. You enable us to grow, and you love us while we do it because we're your children. And the greatest gift of all is you. I don't want the substitutes. I want you. And so I lay my life down. And I thank you that you laid your life down for me. I thank you that my sins have been paid for and they're wiped away, and I can just step into your presence because you want me and you love me. And I thank you. And I surrender myself to you in Christ's name. Amen.